you must have had something terrible happen to you in your teenage years. And I can't think of it. Nothing in your childhood? No, I had a perfectly happy childhood. I couldn't think of anything. And he looked so puzzled. And then I thought, oh, right. I was a caregiver, the only caregiver for an adult alcoholic as a child. You know, you spend several years cleaning up after your parents. That is stressful, but you don't think about it at the time. I was in a house fire shortly after my father died. My grandfather passed away shortly after that. So it all happened within 4 months, literally running from a house fire with the flames coming behind me, like in a movie. And so I thought, yeah, actually, I guess there were a few exciting or eventful things that happened when I was a kid. But what would that have to do with my health?
Welcome to the WellPower Podcast, the ultimate biohacking roadmap, showcasing the brightest minds, research, and optimization tools across fitness, nutrition, health, and high performance, with insight and approachable methods to power your wellness. I'm your host, Kristen. Let's take it there. This is WellPower.
Hi, it's Kristen, and I'm over the moon about what's happening in the cold, exposure and breathwork space. In general, I love that this is growing across the globe. And I've been leading these practices of breathwork and cold exposure, the ice bath. You've seen me on my Warrior Woman Mode handle on Instagram, leading ice baths, putting people in the cold. I think it's like over 2,000 people now that I've put into cold exposure and through breathwork practices and many, many more over the course of my years teaching yoga. And I really wanted to refine my practice over the last several years and understand what it felt like to be with people in this space using breath and using ice. And sometimes even in courses I've taught using heat as a variable to be able to improve our performance, to be able to shift our emotional state, be able to make a big transformation. And what I've seen is incredible. And so there was a call to action recently this year to me to say, hey, look, you're teaching and leading these Sherpa community sessions in Austin. You've sort of founded this part of your brand as Sherpa Breath and Cold. I set up a website, sherpabreathandcold.com. And then there was a call to action this year for me to come to people or to lead people who wanted to learn how to bring this to their communities, something deeper. So I put together an instructor certification, the Sherpa Breath and Cold Instructor Certification. And you can find all the details on it at sherpabreathandcold.com. You can look at the trainings that I'm doing around the United States, or you can contact me and put together a training at your facility, at your wellness center, at your location, so that we can bring breath work and cold exposure to your communities and all the benefits that go along with them. And I can guarantee you, I ran my first training earlier this year, and it was beyond belief. It was a beautiful opportunity for like-minded people and professionals to get together, coaches to get together, to really talk about the context of their business, how we apply these tools to their clientele, to their communities, to be able to really level up everybody's health game. Now, I'm working with breath and cold exposure from anyone from professional athletes to people who are having challenges with dysfunctional breathing, biomechanics, or emotional state change. And these practices work so profoundly, and I believe in them so deeply, and I want to share them with you because I am one person, and the more people that I can share these wellness practices with in a way that is, again, safe, fun, and effective to bring to their communities, the more lives we can expand, the more minds we can shift, the more state change we can create, the more healing we can have in our communities. And so if you're working in gyms or CrossFit, if you're working in plant medicine communities, if you're working one-on-one with clients, if you are coaching nutrition and just want to add this into your toolkit because the people that you work with is something you can layer in that will absolutely level up every part of their life. And mostly, the most important thing that I've gained from this practice is an understanding of my capacity and watching people grow and understand their own capacity so that they can be the very best versions of themselves in the world. It's an incredible practice, and I want you to check it out. SherpaBreathAndCold.com is the website. And there are opportunities there. There are 4 booked in 2022 for the US and 2 international ones coming. So keep your eyes peeled. And if you have a facility, a group of coaches, a group of leaders or people in the wellness space, community members that really want to learn more about this practice so they can continue to exponentially expand it and help people get well, help people climb their own mountain to really grow into the beautiful beings that they are, then I want you to check it out. And I want you to book it at your facility or come join me. It's a live weekend. We get to do it together. And I can't wait to see you there. I really would love to. So SherpaBreathAndCold.com. Come and do it with me. Three cheers for women in biohacking. I'm so singing a lot lately, and I'm not sure what that's about, but it's okay. And I am bringing you one of my favorite dear friends and also female biohackers in the world, an innovator, a smarty pants beyond belief. That's Leslie Kenny. And this was a long time coming, getting her and I together to talk about Oxford HealthSpan, which is a company that she founded using her smarts and pairing with some of the most influential and intelligent doctors in the world. She's based in Oxford now. And her company, Oxford HealthSpan, created an innovated supplement based on the spermidine molecule. And that supplement is called Primidine. Primidine is an incredible autophagy kicking in supplement that Leslie is going to tell you all about. And first, she's going to tell you about her journey, her health journey, how she got to discovering this molecule of spermidine and then creating the brand Primidine and all the hoops that she really had to jump through and all of the ways she had to work diligently and effectively across and through red tape to be able to both get this formulated and get it out to us, get it out to the world. There's always challenges when we don't work within big pharma. And I'm super proud to be able to call this woman a friend, a colleague, and just another biohacker that I can have an incredible conversation, an incredible time with. We're going to hear today from Leslie about a little bit about ketosis, a little bit about autophagy. You know, ketosis and autophagy, which are not the same thing. When you are fasted, you're more likely to burn ketones, and also that can trigger autophagy. But just because you're out there in the world burning ketones doesn't necessarily mean you have autophagy happening and what that's all about. And so I'm stoked to share her story, to share her message. Super excited to bring this woman who, I say she's smarty pants, so she's like from Berkeley and Harvard Business School. She went to Oxford. She went back to school at the Institute of Integrative Nutrition in New York City. She's a bulletproof coach under Dave Asprey, and she's got an incredible and movie-like story of the life that she has led, the way that she took some of the messier bits of her life and turned them into her masterpiece. And I'm a big proponent. You'll hear at some point during the podcast, of course, I'm a big proponent of using Primidine. My friend Nat Nidham is also a fabulous biohacker gal pal, and she's a big advocate of Primidine as well. We take it a lot before we're going to sleep, and it is really an anti-aging vitamin. If you want to simplify it to that, it's an anti-aging vitamin. So let's talk to Leslie Kenny. Let's hear about her journey to bring you Primidine, to found Oxford HealthSpan, and just really where we can go when it comes to boosting longevity. Now I bring to you Leslie Kenny.
And then we're all locked and loaded. And I'm here with Leslie Kenny today, and I'm super excited to have you here on the show. We were just talking about how we met briefly at the Health Optimization Summit, and it's been years since London with all the things going on in the world. So welcome, welcome to the Well Power Podcast. It's a long time coming for us to get together
and
talk.
Thank you so much. I am so happy to be here. And of course, you've been spending time with one of my biohacking besties, Natalia Lara, and Natalie Nidham. Down and sorry, I didn't make it to Florida for that.
Yeah, and soon enough we'll be able to squeeze each other in person and get connected. We're going to talk about a lot of things today that may span from, definitely we're going to talk about longevity and Oxford HealthSpan and Primidine, and there's so many things that you have your hands in, and it's become an even more robust platform of things that you're doing in the last couple of years. So a lot to cover, but I wanted to start by sharing with the listeners your background, your story, because you are overseas right now, and just how you got there and how you got involved in the platform that you are passionate about.
Well, so my story starts as a young woman in the United States. I grew up in California and an only child. As a very young girl, I took care of my father, who was very ill and suffered from alcoholism and also probably from mental health issues as well, which were masked by the alcoholism. And from the time that he died when I was 14 to the time that I was diagnosed with an autoimmune condition at age 39, well, multiple autoimmune conditions, I had blithely been living my life as if my childhood experiences had nothing to do with my health as I grew older. And it was only when a doctor, probably in my 40s, and my hypothyroidism had not yet been diagnosed, when he looked at my cortisol levels and said, "These are about the worst cortisol levels I have ever seen. I can't even believe you're standing up. You must have had something terrible happen to you in your teenage years." And I can't think of it. "Nothing in your childhood?" "No, I had a perfectly happy childhood. I couldn't think of anything." And he looked so puzzled. And then I thought, oh, right. I was a caregiver, the only caregiver for an adult alcoholic as a child. You know, you spend several years cleaning up after your parents. That is stressful, but you don't think about it at the time. I was in a house fire shortly after my father died. My grandfather passed away shortly after that. So it all happened within 4 months, literally running from a house fire with the flames coming behind me, like in a movie. And so I thought, yeah, actually, I guess there were a few exciting or eventful things that happened when I was a kid. But what would that have to do with my health? And he said, a bit like Bessel van der Kolk at Harvard, the body keeps the score, right? Don't ever think that you can allow these events to happen to you without any consequence, because they're imprinted somewhere in you. And it could be that your adrenals have to react very quickly and very strongly to keep you going during a time like this. And at some point, perhaps they just give up and the thyroid takes over. That was what he said happened with me. Or it could be that you have lived with kind of chronic anxiety. That was really the first time that I understood that these events in life could have such a long shadow impact on our health. A few years before that, before I met that doctor, I had been diagnosed with a number of other autoimmune conditions, which were lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. And very, very happily, when the doctor gave me those results, I simply said, I went into immediate denial, which was great protection because I just did not believe what the doctor was saying to me. And I'm so glad that I did, because having received these large brown boxes of syringes full of Enbrel and then later Humira, I decided not to take them, but to look for other ways to hack my biology, my broken biology. And understanding that these illnesses were connected through inflammation, and that stress was a possible source of inflammation, that diet was a possible source of inflammation, poor sleep, poor movement, visceral fat, I decided to just do full court press on all of those things. And I did various series of anti-inflammatory zone diet. I did yoga. I did meditation. I would walk in the Rockies every single day. I did journaling. I tried to work through all of my past traumas. If I could write letters to my father who had committed suicide, just to bring closure, right? Mm-hmm. To stop that continuing cycle of chronic inflammation or stress. And I also did an allopathic treatment called intravenous immunoglobulin, which was very new at the time. And I did 2 infusions of those. So I did an allopathic treatment called intravenous immunoglobulin, which was quite experimental at the time, but it helped modulate the immune system. And in my case, it worked great. When I went back for testing with the same doctor, my C-reactive protein levels, my cytokines, my tumor necrosis alpha, all of these had dropped back to normal. And the doctor's explanation because of course I said, oh, would you like to know what I did? And I was so excited. Don't you want to know what I did? Because this might be useful for someone else. Oh no, it's probably just a blip, which is when you realize that number one, you can affect change in your own body and really reverse illnesses. Essentially, I was aging prematurely. That's why I had all this inflammaging. But number two, if I had listened to the doctor, which I know being a good girl and a good student, I should have followed instructions. But if I would have, we know that a lot of those treatments for autoimmune patients, they work for about 18 months. And then you cycle into another one, like I did with Enbrel. Then I went to Humira and they just stop, right? They stop working. And cycle on all of them until you get to the chemotherapy drugs. And you then begin to run out of road. So why not try to hack the root cause, in this case, chronic inflammation, and take control of your biology, reverse age yourself, and live a longer, healthier, happier life.
It's, you know, there's a lot of things you cover there, but the things that are stand out to me, you know, this audience hears a lot about, hopefully it's landing this conversation that we get to be sovereign and make decisions in coordination, perhaps with a functional medicine doctor or the people we work with, but make decisions for ourselves when it comes to medication. I was speaking with a colleague and friend, Barton Scott, yesterday, who was like, look, you know, there's no medication that's actually ever cured something, right? We address all these root causes. There's no medications we take frequently that actually get to the root. We need to find that on our own. And the second standout thing you talk about is it's a beautiful coping mechanism that we have as young adults or in our youth and even in life, where we set up patterns that cellularly, physiologically, psychologically, we can be resilient and anti-fragile, and they serve us well in many areas of our life, but in other areas, perhaps they don't, right? And so you say, oh, no, everything's fine. My child is fine. And then you proceed to say, I was running from the flames and my father is an alcoholic. And I certainly don't mean to laugh about this. It's not humorous. It's traumatic. You know, our body is holding on to it in different ways. And for many people, all of those traumas or micro traumas we even talk about now these days, we're holding on to them differently. We're patterning differently. And so those pieces are so important, right? Those pieces of how we release trauma in various different ways, including somatic shaking. And, you know, all the way, there's so many tools out there that we can use that our bodies can re-regulate from. And I think that that's the big curiosity that you have come to the table with, is how do I re-regulate things in a way that don't feel like a box of needles shows up to my door and I have to take all this medication. Now, certainly I am not a medical doctor. I am not advocating necessarily for that, but I think we don't look at the wide swath of solutions that are out there. And the quick fix thing is a problem. I would define it as a problem, right? I want to take the pill so I don't have to do the work on the root cause. So that is just to highlight a few of some of the things that spark in me when you share your story, when you share your background. And, you know, there's some beautiful reason you had that background. You're here today and you're helping lots of people. Yeah, so take that trajectory into the present day with all the work that you're doing with Oxford HealthSpan and with Primadine. I want to our listeners to get a kind of a clear understanding, because the conversation around this molecule is new, right? I mean, I know you've been doing it for a long time, but it's new. It's definitely still new. And I talk to people about it and they're like, wait, what are you talking about? So let's give the 101 on some of the features and benefits.
Well, so the Primadine is a supplement that I'm bringing to market, but the molecule that's in it is called spermidine. And that is always the conversation starter. Anything with the word sperm in it just sort of stops people dead in their tracks, right? And I was introduced to a Oxford University immunologist named Katja Simon by a group here called Oxford Science Innovation that were looking to commercialize discoveries at the university. But spermidine didn't really fit their model. So their model is actually to look for things that have been patented and put money behind them, venture capital money, put in a management team, and then bring them to market. But I had been fundraising for some of these companies in the regenerative medicine space, which is how I knew Oxford Science Innovation. But they knew that I was also a health coach. and that I was very interested in functional medicine and holistic healing. And I had a history as well that made me passionate about it. And they said, well, there's, you know, you're an autoimmune patient. You had rheumatoid arthritis. And we actually have two scientists, Gada Al-Saleh and Katja Simon, and they are working on the immune system. They're looking at rejuvenating the elderly immune system. And at the moment, it's just happening in mice, but it looks like there's some promise, and it is happening with this awkwardly named molecule called Firmidine. I thought, okay, this is interesting, intriguing, right? So let's talk to Katja and Gada and find out more about this. And it was really fascinating. Katja actually had gotten a patent in 2014 to use Firmidine together with, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to use the word vaccine, but you can always edit it out if you have to. So they had received a patent to use those together to potentiate. Just let's say for flu, nothing bigger than that. But she hadn't actually decided to continue with the patent process because it was quite expensive. So this then becomes something known as prior art in the patent world. It means that you can't then file a patent for it because it's already been recognized. So I thought, gee, this actually has a lot of promise. This was pre-pandemic, but I was thinking this has a lot of promise, but nobody is ever going to bring it to market because there's no patent behind it, and there can be no patent behind it ever. That seems like a terrible shame to me. And as a natural rebel, I thought somebody needs to bring this to market. And I wanted to bring it to market in the United States where it didn't exist. And I just thought, I think I have to do this. I think that this has a lot of merit. I looked at a lot of studies, albeit almost entirely animal studies and humans with cognition. And I thought, that looks good. At the same time, there was an intriguing paper out of UCL here in the UK, University College London, which showed how spermidine inhibited multiple of the so-called hallmarks of aging. So in trying to think about how we get older, how we age, and therefore accumulate these illnesses that happen as we get older, some scientists said, well, look, we could just avoid all these illnesses if we just avoided aging altogether. So what are the pathways down which we get older? And so they identified 9 of these so-called pathways or pillars or hallmarks. And this particular team at UCL, which was Brian Kennedy, Linda Partridge, and Matthias Fuentealba, then took a number of well-known molecules, and they could be everything from lithium and estradiol and NAD to rapamycin and metformin, and they ranked them and said, which of these inhibits all of these hallmarks? It's a wonderful chart, actually. I think I have it here. I can even show you, although nobody on the video can see, but there it is. And it was an absolutely fantastic chart.
Because that's great. That's like molecules across all landscapes, right? That's pharmaceutical, that's like natural, that's supplementation. So cool, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I found it so fascinating because at the time, spermidine, they showed that it inhibited 5 of the 9 hallmarks of aging. We now know that it inhibits 6. And actually, I was just speaking to one of the authors of that particular paper this very morning, and he said, well, in fact, it probably hits all 9. So among those hallmarks of aging were things that are very easy to understand, like stem cell dysfunction or mitochondrial dysfunction, right? The powerhouses of our cells. Or things like telomere shortening, right? The telomeres are the end caps on our DNA. And so we need to keep those long so we can continue to make good copies. Things like epigenetic changes or impaired proteostasis. That's the proper protein folding and function, and helps with autophagy within the cell. So proteins in the cell are important because they act as transporters in the cell and they help maintain cellular homeostasis or balance. So we want that too. So there were all of these things that spermidine was doing. We haven't yet got absolutely definitive proof on, but which one of the authors of this paper was saying, I think there's maybe a bet for these. Are DNA protection and repair, altered nutrient sensing, and cellular senescence? So with those last three, on the DNA protection, we know that when sperm is actually manufactured, that it is a very high reactive oxygen species event. It's actually very stressful for the man's body. Mm-hmm. And all this ROS is created. And what spermidine does is it helps neutralize that ROS, that reactive oxygen species. So it protects the DNA in sperm. So at least there it works. Does it work throughout the rest of the body? That's the evidence that we need to wait for.
Is this how we got the namesake of actually naming this molecule spermidine? Because of some research around that? Or because needs to be some clarification too about like how this has come about. Because people always ask me the question because they think it's instantaneously. They're like, oh, is that about sexual dysfunction or, you know, what's going on with that?
So spermidine was crystal, was discovered by Antony van Leeuwenhoek, the father of modern biology, in the late 1600s. And he had created the microscope, and he would put everything under it that he could find, including his own saliva, of course, including his own sperm, as you would, right?
Yeah, of course. Try everything.
You try everything. You put everything under there. And he noticed that when semen dried, that there were these crystals, and he didn't know what they were. So the first crystal he saw was he named spermine. Spermine and spermidine are part of a class of polyamines. And fast forward a few hundred years later, the other crystal is then named spermidine. So unfortunately, because of where it came from and because he named the first one spermine, the dye was cast already. Yeah. And he had the naming convention had already been set. So they needed to add that. You know, they needed to keep the word sperm in there. So that is from whence the name comes.
Okay, great. Etymology, it's important.
It does get looks. And actually, when I wanted to bring it to market, I just thought, can I see my mother going into Mother's Market, which is her local vitamin shop, and saying, can you tell me where the spermidine is, please? And I just thought, no, she would never get her lips around the word even, right? And that's why we said, okay, we have to rebrand this and we will call it Primadine, which helps put you back into your prime. I mean, that was the idea, you know, let's try and put ourselves back into our prime or the new prime of life. And we'll call it Primadine. So that's where that name comes from.
There are people who are like, hey, what's in this, right?
Oh, I've had so many people ask me if this comes from.
Is there semen in here? What's happening? Can I get the same results from having semen? I mean, it goes sideways fast. I do want to talk about the origin and sourcing of it a little bit, if you will. Because I think in past days, they were doing the research on different sources and that you guys have found other sourcing. And so I want to clarify with the audience just where it's coming from and then the benefits of it. I mean, you're talking a lot about what those things are in the research, but sort of the practical benefits of it, you know, from a householder standpoint, feel exciting.
Yeah. Well, before people think, oh, it's sperm, this is, you know, how can I take this supplement? Actually, we manufacture it. Men, women, children, actually babies manufacture more than anybody else. And this is something that every plant and animal that you see is actively doing at any given time. The only difference amongst us is that with humans, the amount that we manufacture as we get older declines in the same way that our sex hormones decline, our melatonin production declines, our thyroid hormone production declines. The same happens with spermidine. And we manufacture it endogenously or in our bodies, in our gut microbiome, and also in our tissues. So we get roughly one third from our tissue production, one third from the gut, and another third from our diet. As we get older and our gut gets less good at producing this, perhaps because we've had lots of broad spectrum antibiotics, we've had perhaps some infections like Candida or H. pylori or other illnesses, the gut bacteria that manufacture spermidine are outcompeted by these other bacteria. So the healthier your gut, greater the likelihood that you'll have better spermidine production. Our tissue production falls as well. So when we're older, we really need to rely on getting it from our diet. And if you look at any of the healthy centenarian populations around the world in the so-called blue zones that Nat Geo journalist Dan Buettner talks about, Okinawa, Ikaria, Loma Linda with the Seventh-day Adventist, they all have high spermidine diets. They're taking this in the form of plant material. So they're very high level plants. Some plants have more than others. So fermented soy in the form of a Japanese delicacy called natto, probably one of the highest natural concentrations of spermidine. And then things like wheat germ would be high as well. Shiitake mushrooms, peas, anything with an endosperm. So sprouts will have them as well. And chicken livers. I remember people saying, oh, chicken livers are so healthy for you. Why? Well, this is actually one of the reasons why. There isn't a lot of spermidine in meat, but there is a lot in chicken liver. So these are the types of things that you would want to have in your diet. But for me, you know, we get ours from highly concentrated wheat germ extract, and we actually take out the very volatile, fragile oils that we defat it. You know, I like the idea of supplementing, but having biohacked my own biology, I was thinking, wouldn't it actually be great if we could just harness our body's natural ability to make spermidine, right? Like, what about those gut bacteria there? Why just supplement when, in fact, there are these dormant factories of spermidine that are already in our bodies? Mm-hmm. And so we put a prebiotic in the supplement so that you get the opportunity to feed those bacteria, give them a chance to thrive again, and then do what they do best, which is manufacture this really unique molecule that triggers cell renewal or autophagy.
Yep. So it's a combination of the two, the 1-2 punch of spermidine and primidine. Yeah.
That was the idea. I don't yet know how to get tissues to manufacture more, but if I did, I would try to cover that base too.
I've had a couple of people that I've had conversations around it ask the question about if it's having a wheat germ base, is there anything that's going to pop people out of ketosis? Or, you know, there are questions that come up like that because people are wondering, I have celiac, can I take this? Like, I get it. And let's answer that.
So with regard to popping you out of ketosis, it shouldn't do that, because what it actually does is it prolongs the body's autophagic response. So generally when you're in ketosis and you're extending your fast, you should be able to trigger autophagy in your body, right? And the idea of this is a caloric restriction mimetic, and it extends autophagy for longer in the body. It should just prolong it. So taking it, say, first thing in the morning or before you go to bed should actually just make that fasting period last for longer. Ketosis, where you're burning ketones, it's really too small an amount to really bring you out of ketosis. Yeah. I mean, I think about the guys at the ketone lab here at the University of Oxford were telling me how much extra protein I could add in the form of collagen protein to, say, my bulletproof coffee in the morning and not push myself out of ketosis. You know, you can add quite a bit.
Probably more than you'd want.
Well, more than you expect. I think that a lot of people are very worried about it, but you can add a little bit. And this is too small an amount to be.
Great. Thanks for clarifying that. Hearing it from the source like you, I tell them it's fine. And then also it's nice to hear it from the source who's gotten all the evidence to that.
With regard to celiac, I don't advise celiacs to take this. Mm-hmm. I have one of the two celiac alleles. I don't have a problem with it. One of our clinical advisors, nutritionist Amy Lamott in Hong Kong, she also, like me, has one of the celiac alleles. We don't have a problem. We are what you would call gluten sensitive, but not intolerant. Mm. But we don't advise this for celiacs. However, we are now coming out with a gluten-free version, and people could take that and still get their 1 milligram of spermidine daily. And that was the amount, 1 milligram was the amount that was shown to have to affect improvement in cognition after 90 days of continuous use. So there will be that available for those who are really, really sensitive to gluten or celiac.
What's up, WellPower listeners? We are talking about primadine today, and longevity and biohacking always build me back to what Oxford HealthSpan and Leslie Kenny has created in this bottle. Primadine is something that took years of research and Leslie's experiences as a founder of this company to be able to bring it to market. And it definitely wasn't easy, but let me tell you, it's so worth it. I've been on primadine, and now I'm on the gluten-free formula, which just came out. And I've been on primadine for over six months now. I keep the bottle on my bedside table. It is budget friendly. You can titrate your dose as you need and take it every night before bed. I'm on it. I've noticed a difference in my hair, skin, and nails. That is the number one piece of feedback I get from my clients, my female clients who are on primadine. And the other thing is that it's kicking in autophagy, right? It triggers autophagy in the body, which is why it helps the cellular renewal and the recycling process that typically slows as we age. So we want to boost autophagy. And this is exactly what primadine does. And when we boost autophagy, right, if you think about like a Pac-Man inside of that little video game, and Pac-Man is like your body eating up those little pellets that Pac-Man eats is like your body eating up these senescent cells and cells that are not optimally functioning in the body so that we can enhance cardiovascular health, cognition and memory, immune function, healthy joints, and just overall boost lifespan. And that's what we want to do, right? We want to live healthier, longer, and better. And so that's what primadine has created. And of course, there's a code for you to check this out. Get a bottle or a 3-pack of primadine, gluten-free, or the regular formula at oxfordhealthspan.com. And you can check out why spermidine is the molecule to help you live longer in this brand of primadine. Again, WellPower, WellPower, just like this podcast, will get you 10% off your first order. And you can just like rock out with all the longevity boosting benefits that it gives you. Check it out. Let me know how you like it.
That's the dose we're looking at. And can you talk a bit about timing? Because it's on my bedside table and I take it before bed because Natalie Nidham told me to take it before bed. I mean, if I'm being honest, I mean, you know, and so I want to, you know, hear from you because I know that there's a couple different options. And also if there's any, the differential on timing, taking it and being male versus female physiologically, if that is a bolstering effect.
So we have had so much feedback from really thousands of customers at this point, and everyone has a different experience. Taking it at night before bed or taking it with the last meal of the day, get the body moving towards the glide path of towards sleep, that seems to help. Yet I have met a few individuals who say they take it at night and it makes them stay up, which is the exact opposite. Interestingly, the people that I have met who said it has kept them up have tended to be women, and they cannot take progesterone at night. They know that they can't take it because it keeps them up. I don't know what the link is, but that, you know, that's the feedback that we've gotten.
Yeah. But that's a great correlation for anyone who's concerned or thinking about doing it. It's like, hey, I have this other challenge with progesterone. I'm going to try it on a weekend when it's not going to affect me so much. And then course correct as needed. It also builds back to the end of one experiment, right? Everyone's bio-individual. We have all these different things going on in our lives. And for people like me and even some of the women I work with, and perhaps you experience this, there are things that I'm working really hard to weave in and take out and not. So it's like every experiment is just a small vertical, because if I do 15 things at one time, I don't know what's working or what's not. So really always, I encourage listeners to evaluate the other things that they're taking as well, or the other deficiencies they may have from a melatonin production, if they're dealing with hormone dysregulation, any of that. Because we have so many variables, especially us females, but either way, men and women, right? Just take a little bit of a stock of what's happening in your body when it comes to other supplementation and other potential dysregulation or dis-ease, and then be scrutinizing to say, okay, is it really that or is it something else? Because I think if you pick up the bottle and think it's going to keep you awake, then maybe it keeps you a little bit awake. You know, like there is something to be said for what we believe. This goes back to our belief system at a cellular level. Not to say that it's not keeping people up, but just letting everyone know, deciding for themselves makes sense. And I have heard a lot of good feedback, though, from the industry, from friends, from Natalie, just about how taking it before bed, it's like with the last meal, because we are setting ourselves up for successful sleep, but also like the rejuvenation period and the rest and recovery, correct me if I'm wrong, is a big piece of when and why we're wanting to take it at night, because our body is doing the reset that sleep provides us, and it's the perfect time to put Primadine in our systems.
Exactly, exactly. So you talk about the rest reset period at night. That's also the time when we regenerate. And that happens because of this process called autophagy, or cellular renewal. So auto means self, and phagy means eating. And it is a kind of self-eating, self-cleaning process where you have these little Pac-Man-like garbage bags that encapsulate all of the waste product from the cell, and then almost like a trash compactor, burn them up or recycle the cell contents to be used again or to be burned off as energy for the body. And what we know about spermidine is that it does induce autophagy. So fasting will induce autophagy, but if you put fasting and autophagy inducer like spermidine together, you will potentiate that cellular renewal process. And that is precisely what we wanted to do. So taking it at night was done in my case simply because I forgot to take it in the morning. And I noticed the next day on my Oura Ring that I had fantastic deep sleep scores. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I wonder if I can replicate that experiment. And if it had anything to do with the fact that I took this at night as opposed to in the morning when I take other supplements. And I could replicate it consistently. And then I started mentioning this, you know, to other biohackers like Natalie Nidham and Amy Lamont. And they had exactly the same experience. So that is really when I learned that we could take it at night and it would have this wonderful impact on deep sleep for some people, not all. There is some evidence in the literature, not in humans yet, but in mice or in certain cells that have to do with clock gene, which is deep in the suprachiasmatic nuclei. You know, you've got these photoreceptors in your eye that have nothing to do with sight, but actually communicate with the SCN and say, right, it's light out, therefore produce cortisol, or it is getting darker, therefore produce melatonin. So that gives us this wonderfully rhythmic circadian rhythm. And it's generally, you know, this is our 24-hour cycle, right? As we get older, that cycle gets dysregulated. And what we know from these animal studies is that spermidine seems to communicate with the SCN without needing, it's not doing anything with those photoreceptors, but in a totally independent way, seems to communicate with the SCN to help reset that circadian clock. That's just one study. Please bear in mind, animal studies do not equate to human studies. One study in vitro does not equate to really anything, but it's indicative.
And it's promising. I mean, it could be very promising for this piece, right? That there's something that we have in nature that we can add into our bodies to be able to create this effect. For certain, my sleep is better at night. I'm always taking a magnesium. I'm always taking a primadine. And I notice the difference if I don't take the other of those things, right?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Everyone is different. I mean, most people are deficient in magnesium, and we should, you know, pretty much all be taking it just because it has such a great impact on sleep. It would be great if there were human studies. At the moment, we just have feedback from people who say that it helps. A woman that I met the other day, and I had a lot of witnesses who were with me, I was at a breakfast, and she came in and she said, oh, Leslie, you know, of course I know who you are. And I just want to thank you because Primadine has changed and my husband's life. And I thought, really?
You're like, hold on, let me start the audio recorder.
Yeah,
tell me more.
Yeah. How is that possible? And she said it transformed their sleep. And that's so gratifying to know that it seems to have this beneficial effect. Again, for some, not all people. N of one, right?
And also with sleep being the way it is right now in the world, we can all use any help that we can get. I'm a very big proponent of setting yourself up for the last hour or two before bed, that you're not slamming yourself with junk light, that you're taking a couple of supplements that really support that. I just switched all the bulbs out in my bedroom to red specific red lights so that it's like nothing is going to stop me from getting the rest. I mean, and also across the sleep platform, it gets pretty crazy in the biohacking world. I'm like on my Uller with my weighted blanket, with my special pillow and my sleep crown and my Oura ring and my bio strap. And it's like, we don't have to go so crazy, but maybe if there's like a beautiful little supplement we can take, like Primadine, to add to the mix and we keep our room relatively dark and cool, we can just get away with that as opposed to trialing all the crazy things that I'm always talking about. So sleep is so utterly important right now.
It's foundational. It's really foundational. I think for women, especially when you are heading towards menopause or you are past menopause and progesterone drops so much, when our progesterone drops, our sleep suffers. And of course, I tried the Uller or the chili pad. Of course, I have red light by my bed. I have a Himalayan salt rock lamp there. I do wear my blue blockers. Of course, I take my magnesium. But a lot of women don't do that. And they really suffer from lack of sleep. With another project I'm involved, the Oxford Longevity Project, we just did a webcast with Dr. Dale Bredesen, who's one of the world's foremost experts on Alzheimer's. And he was saying for women who suffer at twice the rate of Alzheimer's as men do, that it generally has to do with their lifestyle 20 years before that. 20 years before is generally when we're going through menopause and we do not get sleep. When we do not get deep sleep, our brain cannot activate the glymphatic system, which then clears out all of the rubbish in our brain. And again, if you're not sleeping really well, then you're probably not able to repair things or regenerate things. So it's very, very important for women, especially, to make sure that they focus on sleep in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. As a preventative for dementia and Alzheimer's when they get older. So I always recommend, as a health coach, I always recommend hacking your sleep with all the things that you said, you know, from light to temperature to supplements. But another thing that Primadine does is that there's an interesting study on hormone health that was done that showed that spermidine and spermine supplementation could reduce salivary cortisol levels in both men and women by 58% in 30 days. So that was at a higher dose than we have. So this was, in Truth in Advertising, this was 5 milligrams. So we have one. But that's pretty astonishing.
That's amazing. It makes me want to. And what happens if I start taking 5 pills at night? It's on me?
Yeah, I mean, and Natalie is doing this. She's actually opening up her capsules and she's high dosing. Just not for very long, but for a short period of time, just to experiment, because, you know, that's the biohacker, that's Natalie, right? Exactly. And she is getting really good sleep scores. Again, everyone needs to try and see what works for them. I'm not saying this is going to work for everyone, but this particular study was very interesting. So spermine and spermidine, they often come together. So they are both also in Primadine. And usually there's a third polyamine with the equally attractive name of putrescine that is in there too. And they're all part of a kind of feedback loop. Some of them can recycle into each other. So if you found a supplement that had spermidine and spermine together like ours, you could try to high dose it to see if you could replicate those results if you were biohacking. Another thing that this team noticed was that doing this normalized hormones, including DHEA, testosterone, progesterone, and estradiol. So we had a couple of health coaches who came to us and said that some of their clients who were starting to go through menopause, who had not had a period in a year, went on Primadine and were getting their periods back. Not always a welcome thing for some women, right?
Listen, let me tell you something. When I have my period and it comes, I'm overjoyed because to me it signals that my body is healthy in a way that is cyclical and that things are operating at a certain level and it's not going to be here forever. But the other reality is that I am a big proponent of celebrating when we have that time of the month. It's not always the easiest in some way, but I urge women who are listening to this to try to reframe the conversation around having their period and PMS and to really work with tools and supplements and people and health coaches to be able to feel better about just the monthly cycle overall. You and I don't talk about this offline ever, Leslie, but I do talk a lot about how women are cycling fitness and lifting and training and eating around in accordance with their monthly cycle if they're in their reproductive years. And that's when we find this research and these studies and the studies around that, there are hundreds of them now since the 80s. But even these studies that are coming up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 at a time, starting in animal models, going to human models, it's exciting. And this is why I think people hopefully are listening to this podcast as a biohacking roadmap and getting more involved with brands like Primadine, because in the medical industry, if you're talking about allopathic medicine, it's 20 years before doctors are going to talk about this. And it will be 20 years later for us. And so if you're looking at something that's safe and doesn't have a lot of contraindications, like we talked about here, like if you have a very strong celiac response or you're very challenged with gluten, then okay, and there's something coming out for you too, but why not try the thing that may or may not see results? Do your own little experiment and see if it works for you. If it does, it's something to layer into life, because it'll be 20 years before we manage that otherwise. And also, how nice is it for someone who's struggling with some of the other symptoms that come along with perimenopause or menopause to be able to say, okay, I can re-regulate. Like when you say to me right here, right now, that there is a feasibility, or even if it's a small possibility, of hormone regulation or better production of those things, I say to people like, get online and get your damn bottle of Primadine already. If that's true, and that if spermidine is going to create that, because like as I'm just over 40, like these things are coming. And so it's finding natural solutions. And also, I mean, this is a little bit of a sidebar, but there's a lot of shame conversation or total avoidance of the topic of perimenopause, female amenorrhea in any sense, whether it's because we're working out so hard because we want to fit into some dress, because like all my clients in LA are always like that. There's a concern. There's a celebrity to being on television or doing all those things. And it's a tough road to hoe with socialization and media and all these things that are happening to us with a body image standpoint. So how do we get to a place where we can talk about more of these things more often? I'm on a soapbox a lot about personal trainers talking who are males, actually just asking the women if they're open to discussing their monthly reproductive cycle and then when they get their period. Because if you're going to ask about food, you need to ask about all the variables for females. And if you're going to talk about a 65-year-old client you have, well, then you should darn well know whether you're a male or female trainer or anything, right? And whatever spectrum of gender fluidity, if there's a physiological female, we got to ask the questions. Where are you in your lifetime of having a cycle in that way? Or where are you in a lifetime of being in your reproductive cycle within the month? And I'm so tired of the non-conversation. It's getting a bit better about perimenopause and menopause. Certainly no one talked to me about it when I was young. No one talked to me about my peer, besides my mother, right, giving me some tips. And my poor mom didn't have a ton of tips from her doctor and a white man in a lab coat. No offense to white men in lab coats, but all of these things, this is a bit of my soapbox on warrior woman mode, right? And a little bit on this, it bleeds into this podcast, pun intended, because we are women and we need to be able to discuss these things. And the fact that we're losing some hormonal profile and the crazy things it does to my clients and to our bodies, we have to talk about it. So I applaud that and I'm sidebarring that. It's amazing. I want to highlight what you're saying as an amazing possibility for the future of balancing our transitions in life as females. So thank you for sharing that. And then I have to get that from you and put it in the show notes.
Well, I can give you another study that came out in 2021 from China, which said that autophagy is required for oogenesis. That is for the production of eggs in women. So it helps with the female germline stem cells and plays a critical role in responding to aging caused by oxidative stress. So you need to protect those female germline stem cells. Otherwise, stress in your life will actually destroy them. And if you don't have those, then you can't actually produce eggs. And there's a lot of talk about a woman's ability to reproduce as she's older as a biomarker for longevity. And this is quite interesting. I think that this could be one of the reasons why. If you can maintain those spermidine as well as spermine levels, so you need both spermidine and spermine to protect oogenesis, then that would certainly help. But for the guys in the audience, I do want to say that polyamines, of which putrescine, spermine, and spermine are three, also enhance sperm motility, and that levels of these correlate with spermatogenesis, or the production of sperm. So it's not just good for women, it's also good for our boyfriends and husbands and our sons and brothers as well. So it's important to recognize that. It's very, very fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so great. I want to pull back a little to like 10,000 feet, specifically about your journey as well, to talk just a little bit about mindset, something that's a bit of a hot topic, just the energetics around the mindset you show up with every morning and how you wake and how you take care of yourself and all of that, because there is a piece of this that you have been on a journey and is also interrelated or correlated to medical industry and lab research and navigating that could not have been easy for you, right? Mornings you wake up and say, okay, you talked about the rebellious nature of the patents and you were like, I'm going to do it anyway and make it work. And I want to ask you on a personal, professional level, just what are there tips or tricks or habits or things that you really work on yourself day to day, like some sort of simple consistencies that help you keep your mindset positive and motivated, right? Knowing that sometimes we have bad days, but how have you gotten to this place? The product on the market, you have this beautiful organization during the times that were really challenging. How did you keep yourself going?
It was exactly the word you just used. I would just say to myself, keep going. As a matter of fact, it's a mantra that one of my mentors, physiology professor Dennis Noble here at the University of Oxford, is always telling me. And he closes, I talk to him weekly, and every week he just says to me, Leslie, keep going. Just keep going. You just get up and you do it. I remember the day after the house burned down, and it wasn't my house I was staying. This was after my father died, and my mother had arranged for me to stay with a family friend until my school term finished. And I was debating, and I had stayed up quite late to prepare everything for the debate tournament the next day. And then the fire happened. And in the morning at 7:15, my debate partner drives up to collect me. And she just looks at the house, which is still kind of smoking, right? And we had slept next door at the neighbor's house. And she said, oh my God, what happened? And I said, yeah, it was a bit of an event last night. And we just drove off and we competed and we won. That was my first win. But I think that has just always driven me to keep going. Just stay focused. There are always going to be setbacks. It may be that the path is two steps forward, one step back, but try to focus on something else that is a positive goal in your life, right?
Yeah, great advice for sure. And you went and won the debate. That's like, I mean, there's the cherry on the top of the story. There's something about compartmentalization, or there's something about the power of now, right? As if you're in that moment and you prepared the night before, even if your note cards went up in smoke, it's like, I'm showing up in the power of now. And that's like a beautiful story that highlights that for real in a very big sense.
Yep. It's very, very Eckhart Tolle. And there are some days, especially with a startup, where you think, I am not sure what is going to happen, because you have the best laid plans. And then something happens that's unexpected. It could be a good thing. It could be a bad thing. But there will always be something, a pothole in the road, or maybe something good. And you can't always plan for it. So I try to have a long-term horizon of where I would love to go. But at the same time, I know I just have to stay in the moment, right?
Yeah, amazing. I always end with a couple questions, but I wanted to see if there's anything you want to touch on with the Oxford Longevity Project as a whole.
Yeah, so the Oxford Longevity Project is totally separate to Oxford HealthSpan, which is the supplement company. This is really an opportunity for a few of us here in Oxford. Again, Professor Dennis Noble, who's a physiologist and a systems biology pioneer here in the UK. Sir Christopher Ball, who is a poet, but who is in his 80s and set various records running multiple marathons, 10 marathons in 10 days after the age of 70. So he was interested in the topic of longevity, as well as Dr. Paul Chen, who's a practice partner at one of the the medical clinics here in Oxford and is a college doctor to two of the Oxford University colleges, we just said there needs to be more around longevity and health span. Why are people not talking about this? Why is it always around lack of mobility, frailty, diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's, all of these things that seem so fatalistic? Isn't there a way to prevent them? And why don't we try to bring together the greatest scientists we can find who are working on these problems and put them together with clinicians? Because scientists, lab scientists and clinicians do not often work together or spend time talking to each other. Paul Chen actually trained as an oncology researcher. So he has a PhD in oncology research, but he also is a general practitioner. So he's quite unique in having both hats. And Dennis Noble thought this was a fantastic thing because he doesn't often come across clinicians. He's used to being siloed with other cardiologists. So his specialty is the heart. And we did our first symposium back in April and had wonderful response. We had the world's leading expert in mammalian autophagy from Japan, who had done all of the research studies with the Nobel Prize winner, Yoshinori Osumi, had won the Nobel Prize in Medicine or Physiology in 2016. And Yoshimori Sensei had done all of the mammal studies with him. So he spoke, and Katja spoke about the possibility of rejuvenating elderly immune cells. And then we had Dr. Sandy Kaufman, who is an American longevity expert, but really more on the clinical side. And she talked about where she thought the clinical applications were. We got such great feedback from it that we thought, let's keep going. Let's keep doing this. And we'll do quarterly webcasts and we'll do this annual symposium. And then Sir Christopher said, hey, I think we actually need an event. Let's do a wellness weekend at Oxford, at one of the Oxford colleges. That would be so much fun. And so that's what we're planning for next summer. So for anyone who might be interested in listening to the webcast, say with Dale Bredesen or with some of the other experts, just go to oxfordlongevityproject.org.
Awesome. Wow. Thank you so much for pulling that work together with all of those people too. It's a lot of great minds spanning a lot of different verticals, let's call them. And that doesn't always happen, right? It's just like you talked about being siloed into with the cardiac team or what have you. It is, we need to be doing more of this, right? This sort of like collaboration across verticals in order to be able to get the big picture. This is what longevity is all about. So I applaud that effort, which is yet another thing you're layering into your life and sharing with the world. So Leslie, and it's also, you're like, I have it all under control. And for me, the beautiful thing is too, just seeing more women in this arena. You know, it's never, I always say I'm not a feminist, but just seeing more women in the arena and more women who are groundbreaking in the way that you are, it's crushingly good because it gives us other women in the world and other people in the world just a different style of role model, different behaviors to model. So I'm so appreciative of that. I want to ask you about your favorite biohack. You're not allowed to say Primadine because we know that. But I want to know either like something you work into your morning routine or evening routine very frequently, or just your favorite biohack across the board.
Well, people who know me know that I love my Katsu device. And I think you know the Katsu guys, right? John Doolittle.
Yeah, I know of them. I don't have a Katsu, but I think it's a very plausible, important device, especially as we're getting older, managing muscle loss in our bodies as men and women, but women especially, right? Because we have a greater propensity to not hold on to muscle and to be able to lose it.
Exactly. So the Katsu device, for those who don't know it, is a blood flow moderation or restriction device. And you put these bands that look like blood pressure cuffs on, say, your arms at the same time, and then do very simple bicep curls, or you put them around the tops of your thighs and do some lunges. But what I like to do is I love to dance. So I just put my Spotify playlist on, and I'll listen to Kesha or Lady Gaga or whoever and just dance. And that puts me into this wonderful flow state. Katsu takes about 8 minutes, so easy. And it does seem to help with muscle. And if I do that in the morning, after I have had some collagen protein and some vitamin C together, Those two together help build muscle. That's a work from UC Davis. And so that's probably one of my most favorite things. My next thing is probably my sleep stack. So I do, okay, I'm not going to use the P word, but of course I do that. And I also take progesterone. Yes, I do progesterone. I do magnesium. I do L-theanine. I love all of those things. I do the chili pad, the red light, and that really sets me up for good 2 hours of deep sleep a night on my Oura Ring, of course, on my Oura Ring. I don't have the bio strap yet. I would love to try it, but
I mean, there are moments in my life that I'm out at a workout and I'm like, I have the forearm band for HRV with bio strap and my wrist and my Oura Ring on. And I have like a blood glucose monitor to see the spikes. And it's just like, people are like, what is going on with, it's like Tron around here. Especially like CrossFit at the gym where people are just like getting down and dirty, working out hard. And then they're like, what is the girl with all the devices just doing, setting pictures? It's like a bad influencers gone wild episode, but I'm really learning about my own body.
I've had the same problem with the Katsu device, taking it into the gym. And then people are like, what is that? Because it also makes, I have an older device, which makes a bit of a buzzing noise. I'm like, what is that?
But I will say, like, Katsu seems to be the gold standard, and it's an investment for sure. More and more, I'm seeing conversations in the Clubhouse 50 plus women's groups and things like that, where people are talking about sarcopenia and muscle loss and how we can use blood flow restriction and occlusion for, you know, to mitigate that. And I do want to say to people that are interested in that and as a tool and a device, because it is also another way where you're not necessarily having to pick up an exorbitantly heavy weight where there could be some safety issue, that you need to make sure you're getting a reputable set of bands, blood flow restriction cuffs, whatever you want to call them, Katsu being one of them. But because there are a lot of, you may have seen this too, Leslie, but there are a lot online, the old, let me order on Amazon, what's inexpensive, and they're not actually stable, they're not doing great things, you could even hurt yourself with them. Or just like, I will see guys sometimes in the gym that are just basically tying off limbs. I mean, I'm like, I don't know if you're occlusion.
That would be so bad. Yeah.
Yeah, that just feels a little scary. So just make sure you're getting some guidance and some advice from either a company like Katsu or someone who's out there who's reputable, who can tell you how to set the bands and pressure and things like that. Because you have a skill level because you've been doing it for a long time, and it's highly valuable to mitigate muscle loss or continue to grow, build muscle in the way that we want. And that's important, especially for us women who lose it more quickly. But yeah, just that's a word of warning to people, because great if you can go and invest in Katsu. I'm 110% behind that brand. And also don't go on Amazon and buy $10 occlusion.
No, it's not going to work. The good thing about Katsu is that it pulses the restriction. So you feel the restriction for a very short period of time and then it releases. Yeah. So rather than those guys in the gym who have literally tied off their arms, which is, it looks scary. Honestly, it's like a tourniquet. Why would you cut off blood flow like that? But Katsu, when you do that, you're sending this message to the pituitary gland that you have really destroyed some muscle and that it needs to send a lot of your own body's naturally produced growth hormone. So this is kind of my cheap hack for growth hormone. Rather than taking an injection, which I think would be dodgy, possibly here in the UK, I'm not even sure if I can get it. But it's so expensive. It's like $1,000 an injection, right? And so then if I can get my body to produce it using Katsu, and the studies show that it works, then I'm going to do that. And that's my investment. Yeah. So, you know, for the price of a single injection,
totally
get the band.
Yeah. And then our HGH as women, like that's a big deal for us, right? That's the basic, that's our, where we lack testosterone, we have HGH. And that's the thing. The other thing, I'm a big fan of the Vasper. There must be Vaspers there. There's some just outside of London somewhere. And I really love the Vasper, like just from a cycle regulation. I was real nervous in the beginning because I thought everyone keeps touting this for testosterone production. And I thought, and I mean, typical Kristen fashion, I like call and I write info at until I finally get like the owners on the phone. And I'm like, I need the 30-minute spiel on this. This is like even pre-podcast. I should have just recorded it because I've sent the notes to so many women because... just to double check that this isn't pushing testosterone, but it helps with HGH amazingly, helps with re-regulating my hormone cycle. It's just, it's really interesting. Yeah, it's really interesting device to get on as well. And again, not accessible to the home user right now, right? You have to go find a place and get on this chilled, compressed, recumbent stepper sprint machine. It's like, what? But we find the things.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Lizzo too, which I like as well. And but it's the whole getup is not, it's not for the accessible. Average person.
Whereas,
not as accessible.
Yeah, whereas Katsu, you can do that. Amazing, great. That's, I love that biohack, and not, it's not often talked about in that question. So thank you for sharing that. That's awesome.
Yeah, of course. And I've got a question for you because I like red light. I also like the flex beam a lot. I'm curious about a hack for women's hormones using red light. You know how men can actually shine a red light device on their testes and increase testosterone? So what is the, is there something analogous to that with red light on, say, the ovaries? Or I'm just curious.
Yeah. I mean, I have answers for that. I'm glad we're talking about it. I'm a nerd about red light for sure. Well, the first thing I want to say, like the piece of flex beam, and there's research that talks a lot, not just about testosterone for men, but HGH across the board, is getting red light on your skin in any way, shape, or form, especially targeting areas you may be working out. Like you could use your flex beam on the, let's say you're working a leg day, you could use your flex beam on several places on your glutes or your thighs and then do the workout. And that's going to help bump the HGH number and production that happens from that workout pre-workout. It is a preemptive or a potentiation device. So red light before is awesome. Red light, whenever I work with people who are getting flex beams that are men, I get a big DM. Even if I give them the flex beam in person, they don't ask me. Then they text me later and say, what's the protocol for putting this on my testicles? I'm like, okay. It's always, it's so funny.
What is the protocol though? Actually, sure, trying to think of it with a flex beam.
I am
How would you do it? Are you like racking it around like a cod piece?
So it's a little bit more challenging for women. We can talk about some red light devices. I can briefly mention them. I have mentioned before, but it's great to share the word every time anyone's listening. With flex beam specifically, I'm sure that they would not be allowed to share medical usage for that part of the body because the tissue is so sensitive. But I would tell you that I have heard that the good protocol for utilizing flex beam on your testes as a male is to do less than 3 minutes and no more than every other day or two. So not every single day, right? It's very sensitive down there. We don't need to go crazy. A cod piece, go Google that and then put it on like that. Yeah, something in that way. Someone wrote me and said, what do I do with Sacajawea? And I was like, I don't even understand how that correlates, but like, you know, I get it.
Sacajawea?
Well, they're like, yeah, they're just like, every single name for testicles, they're using slang.
And I thought Sacajawea was an Indian.
It is. But I think the word sack is in there, you know, whatever. And so everyone's trying to do it delicately, right? When they're writing warrior woman mode and asking. But just to cut through that and say the other thing that I'm a fan of, like red light of any kind, I've seen people sort of straddling their panels on social media or whatever. But the reality is, I think that the one device that I am familiar with, have used and continue to use that I think has some benefit is a device called the VFit, which I always, funnily enough, say, I called my mom and said, Mom, I'm going to post about this device on social media. It's an intravaginal red light device. And it looks like a vibrator or a dildo. And I just want to say to you, it's something that will support women's, not just sexual health, but just longevity, aging, tissues, things like that. So before I posted, I'm asking. And she said, is this going to be on Facebook? Because my girlfriends will see that too. And it's funny, I opened the post just by saying I had to ask my mother before I posted this because a little more conservative than me. But the VFit is a device that is not to be scoffed at. Surely it does all the things that a sexual pleasuring device may do because it gets warm. It does have some vibration, but it also has red light and it's intravaginal. And so it is 12 minutes a day or a night, every other day is the protocol they sort of assign to it. And I've had clients try that and utilize it who have issues with dryness, issues with sexual health, issues with other things going on that have really helped quite considerably. And the one other device I always talk about is the Yarlap, which is for women, a lot of women postpartum will come to me or just having a little incontinence in fitness. Like I'm jumping, I'm pushing, I'm doing whatever. And I'm like, I'm peeing myself a little, Kristen, what do I do? And so the Yarlap is like an electrostim device you wear intravaginally, a similar fashion. You can walk around with that one on, in, whatever you say. And that's super helpful for the testimonials for that and the results I've seen through clients and some people who are close to me who will not remain anonymous, but it's like a teary-eyed testimonial, right? Because these are parts of our lives. And someone recently raised their hand in a talk I did and said, you know, it happens to men too. Sometimes they pee themselves during a workout. And I was like, great, they're not writing me about it. So I don't know. But these are things we aren't always talking about. And there are things like, especially if you've made this beautiful child or you're aging or you've had some dysfunction, like there's nothing to be ashamed about. Let's just try to find ways to mitigate or solve the problem. And so electrostimulus is great. Red light is great. All of that. So yeah, there's no way to get the, I haven't tried to put the flex beam inside me. So
it's far too big.
It's
far
just, too big. Yeah, all the things. And so there are other devices in the world, and definitely males can use the flex beam to boost testosterone and boost HGH in many ways on other parts of the body. And we can as well. And so always preemptively. And yeah, red light is so, it's rad. I'm a big fan.
I do love red light too. I must try it. It's a V-Lite, right?
A V-Fit. It's like V, I won't remember the name of the parent company. I can put it in the show notes, but V-Fit is the name of the device. And I can look it up while we're chatting here.
Yeah, I have two biohacking friends who have used it, who like it. Again, they'll remain anonymous.
I know. Joy Lux. The company is called Joy Lux, Joylux. Joy Lux.
Oh my God, that's so great. Like the Joy Lux Club. That's great.
Yeah, and it's intimate wellness device, promotes natural lubrication with red light technology. Menopausal, perimenopausal women.
Such a smart idea.
Yeah, femtech. Femtech is happening. Femtech and all the things that you're continuing to create. That is the future for men and women, but also women's health.
It is. And we didn't even get to talk about sexual health, but another time.
I know. We started to touch on there. We'll have to do that next time because I feel like we could talk all day. We could. This is like, I always want to close out and ask this one question. I know you went through a lot when you were younger, but I ask every one of my guests to share, if they look at the landscape of their lives until this very moment we are in right now, and then could go back and have a very brief conversation with one key point to themselves, in their young teens to really motivate or bolster an opportunity to live in their well power, live into their well power sooner, faster, more effectively, or more efficiently. What advice would you give to yourself when you went back and had that conversation?
Well, there's so many things that I think are important, like gratitude or continuing to have focus. But in my particular self, with my 12-year-old self, given where I was, I would probably say, this too shall pass. And only to remind ourselves that in the moment when something terrible is happening, we're thinking the world is collapsing. But generally, we will survive. And this too shall pass. And that's hopeful. So keep that in mind in all the dark moments. This too shall pass.
Yeah, that's really a lovely sentiment. It is also about resiliency and strength that we get to build over time. So thank you for sharing that. I know that you were challenged with so many things and you've rose up from and have really created this beautiful product in Primadine and all of these, the organization you're working with and everything. So I'm so thankful that you're out in the world, and I am looking forward to coming to London to see you in person as soon as that's humanly possible. Health Optimization Summit or any reason that we can get together.
We need to get you over to Oxford.
Yes, yes.
That would be so fun. And then we get some of the wellness goddesses over to Oxford. I think that would be fun.
Yeah. Next summer, you said the summertime you're talking about, right?
Yep.
What a perfect time. Yeah. That would be beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful.
Hunting on the river, picnic. Yeah. It would be good fun.
Yeah. Lovely. Leslie, thank you so much for spending time with me. It's just an honor and it's a pleasure, and you are as gracious and as humble as can be. And I want to continue to champion any platforms you're working on. So please continue to let us all know how we can support you across social, across everything. I will tag all of the brands and Instagram handles, but will you just give us a quick little reminder where we can find Primadine online?
So if you go to oxfordhealthspan.com, and it's all spelt like it sounds, Oxford Healthspan, you will find us. And we certainly look forward to seeing you and lots of your followers and fans there. And I'm sure there's a discount code as well.
There is. We've worked all the magic in, and it's just a great resource. Yeah, I'm curious to get some feedback from my listenership as well on how they're liking it and how they weave it into their lives. And we will see each other very soon. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, too. I have a lot of gratitude for you and the work you're doing and the power that you represent and the inspiration that you are to so many men and women who are looking for answers. Keep on going.
Thanks. Keep going. We're both going to keep going. Right back at you, sister.
Exactly. Thank you.
Thanks. Yes. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Well Power Podcast. Please subscribe and follow us on social at Well Power Podcast or Warrior Woman Mode. And if you're really digging what we're throwing down, would you head on over and leave a 5-star review? It helps others find us, lets us know you're out there, and from time to time I'll be reading the wildest, most wonderful reviews on air. Any foul language you hear on this podcast is not approved by my mother. And as always, I'm your host, Kristen. Be well.